live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth, who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this 27th day of August 2025. I ask for your continued prayers for me as I depart Pennsylvania next week, next Thursday, to be more specific, to head to my old stomping grounds, as they say, on Long Island, New York, for a visit there and to host the memorial service for my late brother, Andy. I would appreciate your prayers, not only for safe travels and a blessed time of fellowship there, but also that some of my brother's lost friends would be present at the memorial service and that they would hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, which will be proclaimed by my very dear friend, Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, Long Island, and that lost souls would come to Christ as a result of this. If anybody is in the Quorum area or on Long Island and you would like to attend this service, I would love to see you there. The website for directions to Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Quorum, Long Island is hopereformedli.net, hopereformedli.net, and the memorial service will be held Saturday, September 6th at 3 p.m. So I hope to see you there. But today I am so thrilled to have a first-time guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. John P. Marcus, pastor of Peace Protestant Reformed Church in Dyer, Indiana, who received his Ph.D. in biochemistry from University of Michigan. He's a former research officer at the Cooperative Research Center for Tropical Plant Pathology at University of Queensland, Australia, and contributor to the book In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation. And he is addressing how biochemistry relates to creation. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. John P. Marcus.
Thank you, Chris, for having me on. It's a privilege for me to interview with you. I'd like to express also my sympathies in the passing of your brother. And my prayer, too, is that the gospel will go forth and God will use that to bring honor to his name.
Amen. I appreciate that very much. Tell us something about the congregation where you are pastoring, Peace Protestant Reformed Church in Dyer, Indiana.
Peace Protestant Reformed Church is a congregation of about 33 families. We preach the gospel of sovereign particular grace. We want to honor God in all of our lives. And we have a lovely congregation of old and young.
And this congregation is a strong supporter and adhere to the three forms of unity. Am I correct? The Heidelberg Catechism, Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort?
That's correct. Our churches hold to those three forms of unity. And usually I preach through the Heidelberg Catechism about once every year and a half, so going through the entire catechism.
Great. Well, if anybody wants more details on Peace Protestant Reformed Church, especially if you live in the Dyer, Indiana area or are traveling through there or have family, friends, and loved ones in that area, and you'd like to recommend them to this congregation, the website is Peace, PRC, for Protestant Reformed Church, .org. That's peaceprc.org. Before we go into our major theme today, how biochemistry relates to creation, we have a tradition here on Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Whenever we have first-time guests, we have that guest give a summary of their salvation testimony, which would include any kind of religious atmosphere in which they were raised, if any, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I know that although there is one gospel and only one means of salvation and only one Lord God, Savior, and King, Jesus Christ, at the same time, the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ or even the circumstances vary differently. You have people who were raised from infancy in godly homes and were instructed in the scriptures since they were little children, and you have others who did not know the gospel until they were well-grown, perhaps even elderly, and some have traumatic experiences involved and dramatic conversion experiences of being rescued out of drug addiction and prostitution and all kinds of things, even behind the bars of a prison cell. And then you have also stories of men and women who were preserved and protected by God since infancy from having to experience those kinds of more dramatic rebellious years. And that in itself is a testimony of God's love, mercy, and power when he preserves someone since childhood. But tell us about your story.
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were missionaries in Mexico. I was born in Mexico, grew up down there. And really from my earliest recollection, I believed everything that the Bible said. I knew I was a sinner in need of Jesus Christ. I can remember in high school being convicted that I had not loved God as I ought to love God. I prayed that God would work that love in my heart. And daily I pray for forgiveness on the basis of the perfect work of Christ on the cross. And daily I want to live a life that is obedient and shows my thankfulness to God for his grace to me.
And when did you come to the realization that God had placed a call upon your life to enter into the pastoral ministry?
You know, I had thoughts when I was in high school and put it off. And I went to college. I went to graduate school. During graduate school, I asked pastor for his advice as I had thought about the ministry. And he said, well, finish your degree first. I was going for my PhD at the time, and I think that was good advice. But after I got my degree in 93, I went out to Australia and worked out there in Brisbane. And while I was out there, I kept thinking more and more on just the need for ministers and the conviction that I thought I should pursue the ministry. And one of the professors I talked to, Professor Hanko, Herman Hanko, he's passed away since then, he said, well, there's only one thing to do, and if you're serious about it, you ought to come back and begin preparations. And I did that, and the rest is history.
Praise God. And what led to you entering into the field of biochemistry, which is largely to do with our subject today?
I loved science. I pursued a Bachelor of Arts in chemistry, and I liked the chemistry of life because I think it just shows the amazing wonder of creation, how complex life is. And so I thought that biochemistry would be a good field to go into, as I had an appreciation for that.
Great. And what can you tell us specifically what that field entails, obviously, without going too far over the heads of the average listener here today that doesn't have a scientific background? But for the breaking it down for the layman, what does that field of science cover, biochemistry?
Sure. It's quite broad, but basically the chemistry of life. So how do living organisms, what are the processes that contribute to life and sustain life? So it has to do with all the way from what does a sugar molecule look like to how does a living organism convert sugar into energy. And so it's very broad, and definitely you can specialize in different ways in that field.
Well, you are a six-day creationist. You believe that the account in Genesis of the creation of not only human beings, but to the creation of the earth is an account that should be read literally and believed literally, that this took place over six literal 24-hour days. And you, as I mentioned earlier, are a participant, a contributor to a book published by Master Books, which is an official publisher of Ken Ham's ministry. Ken Ham, the world-renowned young earth creationist. Perhaps you can tell us an overview of this book. I know that you only contributed one chapter to it. But this book, which is titled In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation. Why don't you give us an overview of that? And also, basically, in your own words, tell us why you believe this is such an important issue. Although I believe I have, or we have, brethren in Christ who are truly our brethren and are truly saved, who disagree with us over this. Nonetheless, I believe it's a very important issue. Well, when I say they disagree with us, they believe in an old earth. And I think that that is a serious flaw in their thinking. But if you could, tell us about this book and why this issue is so important.
The issue is important because it has to do with the authority of Scripture. Is God really telling us the truth when he says that he created the earth, the heavens, and the earth in 6 days? And is there a literal Adam? And is there a literal Eve? Were they tempted by a literal serpent in a literal garden so that by one man came sin into the world? That impinges on the gospel. If there was not a literal Adam, then we run into great difficulties when it comes to the second Adam, who represents his elect people. So it is a salvation issue from that perspective, and it certainly impinges on the authority of Scripture. If Scripture cannot be trusted in Genesis 1 through 11, I'm going to have trouble trusting it when it speaks of other things, too.
When in your life did this issue become an important issue? Because I don't know whether or not the original denomination you were in, the Christian Reformed Church, which has become very liberal since you were raised in that denomination, there are some true believers who are holdouts, standing firm in that denomination, but I think that they are few and far between, it seems. Most of the biblically orthodox members having departed for other denominations. But was the Christian Reformed Church, also known as the CRC, universally young earth believers, or was there a significant number of old earthers in that group?
I would say there are a number of theistic evolutionists, old earthers. And growing up in Mexico, it was not an issue while I was on the mission field, although there were already then, even when I was before I was 10 years old, people that I remember having as teachers on the mission field, even one of the teachers that came down that believed in an older, but thankfully the other missionaries were strong enough to say that's not going to be taught down here. So it certainly has been an issue for a long time. I knew that it would become an issue for me when I chose to go to graduate school. And knowing I would go to a secular graduate school, I knew that I would be taught evolution. So I took a greater interest at that time to study the issues.
And the topic at hand today, how is biochemistry related to creation? Please tell us why this is such an important link. And also, please feel free to be as lengthy in your answer as possible so that we can really get a full description of this scientific link.
Can you repeat the question, Chris?
I'd basically like you to give a full detailed answer to my question of what is the link between biochemistry and creation? Why is it such an why is it such an important link? And be as detailed as you can.
Sure. The doctrine of creation in Scripture, of course, Scripture does not go into biochemistry. Per se, it doesn't tell us how sugar is converted to energy. It doesn't tell us many of those things. But biochemistry, when viewed through the eyeglasses of Scripture, confirms everything that Scripture says. So even though the Bible is not a science textbook per se, everything it says about science is absolutely true. So really, it's above any science textbook. And everything we discover ought to fit into what Scripture says. And that includes anything it says that even relates to biochemistry. It ought to be consistent. So science and Scripture are not at odds. Biochemistry and the Scriptures are not at all at odds. But when we look at the science of biochemistry through Scripture and through the eyeglasses of faith, we will see that it is completely consistent. And if there are questions yet, well, then, of course, the question is on the side of, well, we still don't have a full understanding of the science, but we know that Scripture is true.
Well, we have to go to our first commercial break. If anybody has a question for Dr. John Marcus, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name at least, city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. But don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages with Dr. John P. Marcus.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White here of Alpha and Omega Ministries, announcing that this September, I'm heading out to Pennsylvania to speak at two events that my longtime friend Chris Arnzen has lined up for me. On Thursday, September 18th at 11 a.m., I'm speaking to men in ministry leadership at Chris's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Free Pastors Luncheon at Church of the Living Christ in Louisville. Then, on Sunday, September 21st, at 1:30 p.m., I'm speaking at Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle on the theme, Can We Trust the Bible is the Authentic and Inerrant Word of God? I hope you can join Chris and me for both events. For more details on the free pastor's luncheon, visit ironsharpensironradio.com. That's ironsharpensironradio.com. For more details on Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, visit trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, I'll see you in September in Pennsylvania for these exciting events.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnson in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com will enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N, an added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's cvbbs.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they are continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And the owners of RoyalDiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide us with automatic monthly financial support every single month, but on top of that, they are giving us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com. RoyalDiadem.com wants to see Iron Sharpens Iron Radio continue to broadcast the truth of God long into the future. And so they're willing to help us in this remarkable way. So therefore, if you are interested in purchasing jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind, Christmas is right around the corner, whether it be jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, either way, go to RoyalDiadem.com. Mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and we will get 100% of the profits from that purchase. Go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We are now back with Dr. John T. Marcus, and we are discussing how biochemistry is connected with creation. And before I go to some of our listener questions that have already come in, if you could address in as much detail as you can your contribution to the book that we already mentioned, In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation. If you could tell us what exactly the chapter that you contributed to this book is about, in as much detail as you could provide.
Sure. I started out the chapter when I initially wrote it, emphasizing that I believed in the doctrine of creation because that's what the Bible teaches. And I have to say that editor was more interested in the scientific evidence, and he cut down that section on scripture. But I think it's important to emphasize, even though it maybe is only one paragraph in the chapter that I contributed, is that I believe in the doctrine of creation because that's what scripture says. Hebrews 11, verse 3, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And there's so many portions of scripture that teach the doctrine of creation. Jesus himself believed that Adam and Eve were there at the beginning, that the Apostle Paul, Luke goes back with his genealogy all the way back to Adam and Eve. So there's no question that scripture, if we're going to take it seriously, we start with that faith. By faith, we understand. Then in the chapter, there are two things. Once we have that faith that God has given us, once we start with scripture and the sure word of God, then we can see that scripture makes absolute sense and evolution makes no sense. I talk in the chapter about the fact that design is the evidence of a designer. And that's very obvious to recognize. We should be able to recognize it. If the illustration I use, if we go out in the desert and see this round object lying in the sand, and it's a cylindrical object, we see it has an opening at the top, we'd say, well, that's obviously a pot made by a human being that obviously has design. Well, what's evident for a simple object like that is millions of times more so the case for something that has the design that we see in creation. And that's something that in biochemistry, people have studied proteins, and it's just astounding the more we study how incredibly complex living organisms, even the most simple organism, could be. So in that chapter, I use the example of the process of converting DNA information. The blueprint of life is the DNA. And converting that into proteins, say like enzymes or other components of living cells, well, just that process alone requires at least 75 different protein molecules. But now we have a chicken or the egg question. Well, how could you get the DNA to be converted into the proteins unless you have all the mechanisms in place that includes those proteins that are being produced? So it's really impossible. That there's, you can put a number on it, but it is absolutely impossible that could come about by chance. That was the first section that I talked about, just evidence of a designer. And then I have to admit, it's a little bit dry because it goes through calculations, and I won't go through the calculations on air here. But I calculated the probability of just one average size protein coming about by chance. Well, every protein is composed, there's 20 different amino acids, different amino acids that can form a chain. And if you calculate the possibility of a right sequence of amino acids being all formed together by chance and getting the right one, it's an astronomical number. And maybe for the mathematicians, 1 × 1.3 × 10⁰⁰ power. So almost 130 zeros just for one. And then it just goes down. The probabilities go down from there. So even biochemistry textbooks, one popular one that's used today, this is one quote: our hypothetical nucleic acid synthesis system therefore is analogous to the scaffolding used in the construction of a building. After the building has been erected, the scaffolding is removed, leaving no physical evidence that it was there. Most of the statements in this section, they're talking about the life coming from non-life. They say most of the statements in this section must therefore be taken as educated guesses. Without having witnessed the event, it seems unlikely that we shall ever be certain of how life arose. Well, we can, that's the quote. They themselves admit that they do not have evidence. But thankfully, we do have someone who was there, who gives us an eyewitness testimony. God himself tells us how he created. He spake. He said the word. God said, let there be. And there was. So I concluded the article that life in its totality must have been created in the beginning. The whole package has to be there, or none of it can be there.
Okay, we have a listener, Ted in Moundville, Alabama. Does your guest believe that accelerated nuclear decay was a part of God's creation plan? And if so, how would such an accelerated decay square up with the heat problem?
Chris, I'm vaguely familiar with that. It's not a biochemistry question, but there have been creation scientists that have addressed that accelerated decay and believe that radioactive elements, there's evidence that radioactive elements decayed more rapidly at some point in the past. So I'm not qualified to really speak on that specific issue, but I could say this. Even that dating the Earth using radiometric dating, there are modern volcanoes that have erupted in living history that give millions of years the wrong date. So I'm not going to trust some radiometric date that a scientist gives when they can't even get it right for a volcano that's erupted in modern history, when I know what scripture says. But there are other clocks, if we look through scripture, that show the age, for example, of the human race. There are certain errors that are introduced from one generation to the other in human cells in the mitochondria. And based on the known rate today, it fits exactly with what the Bible says. And then I can say, okay, it agrees with Scripture, with God's inspired, sure word then I can accept that.
Okay, Ted, well, guess what? You are a very blessed individual today because you have won two books by virtue of your sending in today's question. The first is the book to which our guest contributed a chapter, In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation. And that is compliments of our friends at Master Books, whose website is masterbooks.com. And also, the massive $60 hardback from our friends at Reformed Free Publishing Association. This is the commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism by Zacharias Ursinus. And this is a very large work and considered by scholars to be a classic on the work. And if you give us your full mailing address, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, we'll ship those two books out to you. And we want to thank masterbooks.com and also Reformed Free Publishing Association, whose website is rfpa.org, RF for Reformed Free, PA for Publishing Association.org. We want to thank them for their generosity in shipping and providing us with these books. And we thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, for shipping them out to our listeners. We have another question from Joey in New Rochelle, New York. And Joey says, what specific biochemical process are you aware of that is inconsistent with evolutionary theory?
Chris, when the process, if we want to call it a biochemical process, it's the mythical process of life coming from non-life. It's inconsistent with the principles of logic. It cannot happen. So I guess that's not a real biochemical process. The problem with evolution is that it is so malleable that no matter what evidence is put forward, evolution can simply come up with its explanation, and therefore it's philosophers call it non-falsifiable. There's no evidence that could possibly be brought up that would prove it false. It's non-falsifiable, and therefore also it cannot be proven. But I would say the biochemical process of mutations being introduced that can be measured in the mitochondria of human beings, and those mitochondria are passed down from the mother to its baby, and those have been measured. And there's some nice articles on Answers in Genesis that talk about that. Well, there's a process that's happened that is consistent, exactly consistent with what the Bible says, but it's not consistent with millions of years. It's completely inconsistent. Well, see, evolution could say, oh, well, but that's because they could come up with an explanation. They could say, well, that's because most humans died out almost 6,000 years ago when there was, I'm making this up, when there was a meteorite that hit the Earth, and that's why two humans survived. they could always come up with an explanation. But the biochemical evidence is completely consistent with what the Bible says about the age of the earth.
Okay, and Joey has one more follow-up question. Please discuss the single cell, and then he has in parentheses, wrongly named simple cell, and how the operation of the single cell cannot be produced by an evolutionary process.
Yeah, I like that, putting simple in quotations. One of the most simple organisms that has been studied is called a mycoplasma. And that simple organism has something like 480 different proteins. And all of them have to be there, or that simple cell cannot replicate and it cannot produce another simple cell. So for life, for a cell to be alive, it has to be able to make another cell. It has to be able to take in energy. It has to be able to make a new copy of its own DNA. And the studies that have been done have found that you can't get any more simple than that. So you have to have at least 400 to 500 different complicated proteins. They all have to be held in by all the components that are produced by all those proteins. And you have the chicken and the egg issue again. It all has to be there together, or it can't be there at all.
Well, thank you, Joey. And guess what? As you likely assumed, you are also a winner of the two books that I mentioned, In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation, by my guest today, Dr. John P. Marcus. And also, you are going to receive the massive commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism that we mentioned by Zacharias Ursinus. And we want to thank once again masterbooks.com and rfpa.org for contributing these free books to us today. Make sure, Joey, that we have your full mailing address in New Rochelle, New York. We have to go to our midway break right now. And if anybody else would like to join us on the air with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And we look forward to hearing from you. And don't go away. We are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards. And Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Aronson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism, titled Authentic Christianity, by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Aronson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
I'm truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Armson's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
And I'm really looking forward to having dinner with Dr. Doug McMasters, pastor of New Hyde Park Baptist Church, next Thursday when I arrive on Long Island, New York, the week of my brother's memorial service. So looking forward to seeing you, Pastor Doug. And before I return to my conversation with Dr. John P. Marcus on how biochemistry relates to creation, I just have some important reminders for you folks. If you really love this show and you want it to continue to exist, I'm urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, as some folks still do, where you mail a physical check at your post office to a physical address, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice, like a law firm or a medical firm, Or perhaps it's just a special event that you want to promote. Whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign, because we are in urgent need of your advertising dollars as much as we are in urgent need of your donations. So please, if you are interested in advertising, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And folks, I want to remind you of how urgent the need is for your financial support, because Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has sadly lost two of our major advertisers, one of which is very sadly, after many years, closing its doors permanently before the end of 2025. We're left with a huge loss financially because of this, and we need your help to replace that income. So please, if you can find it within your hearts and in your checking account, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Now, having said that, as urgently as we need your financial support, I never want anybody in my audience to give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give to your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. In other words, never cut in to the financial resources that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Please never do that. This program was founded on some major pillars, and one of them was to be a friend, a helping hand, and a right arm, and a platform for the faithful local pastor and the faithful local church. And I never want to do anything that harms the faithful local pastor and church, including financially. So please never give your own church less money than you normally do to give to us. And also, if you are really struggling to survive and make ends meet, please wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to support church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, well, please share some of that money with us if you really love the show and want it to continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you, because I've helped people spanning the entire globe in our audience find churches that are biblically faithful, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live, and that may be you too. So if you are without a biblically faithful church home and you don't know where to find one, send me an email. No matter where you live in the world, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to our guest today, Dr. John P. Marcus, as we continue to discuss the connection between biochemistry and creation. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. You have a question from Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia. Do you know of any colleagues in your field of expertise that believe as you do, but are fearful to say so because of various repercussions? And in fact, I will add to that question from Lou and ask you, have you ever had serious negative repercussions because of your beliefs?
I don't know anyone personally. I know that when I was in graduate school, that could have been made an issue, because I did talk to colleagues about my belief in a six-day creation. My advisor at the University of Michigan was a professing Christian, and he did not make a big deal of it, for sure. But that was always a danger. And nevertheless, I think we need to be faithful and be willing to speak what we believe when we're asked. Do we necessarily try to become persecuted? I would say no. So I don't know of anyone personally that is struggling with that now. I've heard of stories of people being denied their doctorate degree, and I could see somebody who was ardent unbeliever and a hater, which they all are haters of God. I could see how they might want to make that an issue.
Yes, in fact, I have had some encounters with even professing Christians, and even on top of that, professing Reformed Christians, who are old earth creationist believers, who are so nasty and offensive in their rhetoric towards young earthers that I could even see them, if they were in positions of authority, denying a doctorate or something to a young earth creationist. Some of them are just over the top. And of course, I'm not broad brushing here, because I also have very close friends that I've known for decades who are old earth creationists. And although I have serious disagreements with their with their view, I still remain friends and consider them my brothers. By the way, Lou in Sharpsburg, Georgia, you have also won the two books that we've been mentioning, In 6 Days, Why 50 Scientists Choose to Believe in Creation, to which our guest today, Dr. John P. Marcus, contributed a chapter. And that's published by masterbooks.com, one of the primary publishers of Ken Ham, the world-renowned young earth creationist. And also, thanks to the generosity of rfpa.org, that's Reformed Free Publishing Association, we're giving away the massive hardback commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism, valued at $60. And that is the commentary on the Heidelberg Catechism by Zacharias Ursinus. And I hope that you enjoy both of those, Lou. Please make sure we have your full mailing address in Sharpsburg, Georgia. And I was curious what your opinion is. I don't know if you've read it, but there has been a popular book, which has a subtitle connected to our subject matter today, The Biochemical Challenge to Evolution. The actual title of the book is Darwin's Black Box, which has an anniversary, a 10th anniversary edition out now by Michael Behe. Do you have any thoughts on that, if you have read it?
I'm trying to remember if I read it. Does he use the argument of the irreducible complexity?
Oh, that I wouldn't know, because I actually haven't read the book. I just know that I've been hearing it recommended to me.
If I'm not mistaken, he talks about the idea that kind of everything, sort of like what I brought up, that everything has to be there in order for even the most simple cell to work. So if I just, you know, with that example that I used of mycoplasma, if you took just one of those 400 to 500 proteins out of that cell, it won't work anymore and it won't live. And if you don't have that one piece, then all the other 400 to 500 are meaningless. So I have not read that recently. It's, and I can't remember if I have read that. I don't think I have.
By the way, our friend Joey in New Rochelle, New York, just chimed in. Yes, irreducible complexity.
And that really is the question that evolution has no answer for. They will just say, well, it just happened. Chance, and if you give it a long enough time, and I in my chapter I go through a calculation that I give it all the time that evolutionists say, and I calculate. Again, it's way too dry to do in an interview, but it's so laughably and really incomprehensibly the odds, we can't even comprehend how small they are, because they have, you know, hundreds of zeros behind it. One in, it's, we can barely understand one in a billion. So irreducible complexity, I think we could think of it this way. If you have a city, a cell is like a city. And that whole city, let's just pretend that it was manned by robots that did all the work, and you have to have this city make another copy of itself. Well, who would ever imagine that you could have this self-replicating city, or you could say self-replicating factory, a factory that would make another copy of itself, manned by robots? Who would ever imagine that that could come about by chance? So evolution does not have an answer to that. They simply have no answer. They just say, well, it happened. And the Bible says otherwise. The Bible says that God created it by his word. And if a theistic evolutionist wants to say, well, God could have used evolution, the problem is he doesn't. He speaks to us and tells us that he did it by his word, and the kinds he created at the beginning, he didn't evolve them from other kinds. So it's directly contrary to the word of God. But irreducible complexity is a very strong argument against evolution.
Okay, we have James in Concord, New Hampshire. Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually Concord, North Carolina. There's one letter off there. It wasn't an NH. It was an NC. James says, could it be rightly said of secular science that in spite of their facade of despising religion and accusing religion of being an enemy of Christianity, they have actually created their secular science as a religion unto itself, even if they never describe it as a religion? They seem to do the same kinds of things that the Roman Catholic Church once did centuries ago, where they insisted on certain scientific views that had no real biblical basis and certainly no scientific basis, but nonetheless persecuted people who disagreed with them on these views. And today we seem to have secular science doing the same thing towards Christians who happen to be brilliant scientists.
Yes, I believe that's exactly what has and what happens and has happened. John Calvin says about the human heart is that human hearts are idol factories. We manufacture idols according to the image that we like. And that's exactly what unbelieving scientists have done, who Romans 1 says that they do know there is a God and that he ought to be served. They know by the creation, it's clearly seen. There is a God, he must be served. But if you admit that, then you're also admitting your guilt. So unbelievers will say, no, there is no God. And they will suppress that knowledge of God. And they will do everything in their power to deny the existence of God, despite all the evidence to the contrary. even when everything, all the science lines up with Scripture, when it does, and true science will line up with Scripture, they'll still deny it. They'll come up with some other explanation.
Okay, we have Danny in Terrabella, California. And Danny wants to know, could you please list some things that you as a scientist in the biochemistry field have no answer for, and your colleagues have not come up with answers for these things either?
I think there are probably countless mysteries that we don't have an answer yet. But I do believe that the more we study, the more we see that everything does, in fact, line up with what Scripture has said. And I think we could use the words of Jesus, "Oh, you, somebody who refuses to believe Scripture, oh, you of little faith," which we all have only a small beginning, but there's always going to be things we don't have an answer for. It used to be that people said humans and chimpanzees were 98% similar in their DNA. Well, the more work that has been done on that, humans and chimpanzees are not nearly as similar as has been said. And that, again, shows exactly what we would expect according to Scripture. So, are there things we don't have answers for? There's all kinds of mysteries that we still don't understand the depth of how complicated human cells are. The example I used of that mycoplasma, they constructed a synthetic life that they made in the lab. They kind of played around with all the genes, and they could get something like 400, maybe 430, I forget the exact number, where they could get a cell to live on just those number of proteins. But there were like 25% of those proteins, they don't even know what they do yet. So there still are many, many mysteries in the creation that just show how complicated living organisms are.
Why do you think, from your knowledge of science in history, why do you think, other than perhaps the powers of Satan and his demons itself, how on earth did Darwinian evolution and an old Earth of billions of years and these countless things that are contrary to the Scripture, how on earth did they become the dominant views in science? Not very long ago, but a little over 100 years ago. And this dominance remains. What made science and even the church vulnerable to this?
Well, it is striking that even in the 1800s, there were what we would say were sound theologians otherwise that were willing to accept long ages. So I think it ultimately comes to unbelief, and we are weak in our faith, so that, like I said, some sound theologians, somebody like Warfield, I think, and Bobby, that left holes in their theology because they accepted the secular white coat prophets and what those prophets said. I'm using prophets in quotation marks. Rather than simply holding to what scripture says, and when there are things we don't understand, for example, starlight from distant stars, there have been explanations put forward. But it's the speed of light and how it interacts with space, that is a deep, deep mystery. I'm not going to throw the Bible out just because I can't explain how starlight comes from a distant star and reaches us. I can say, I don't understand it, but God could easily simply have created the light in transit. Or space may bend in a certain way. I don't have to understand it. But I think unbelief is the reason. And where we doubt, we shouldn't be looking for proof in the creation. We should be begging God for mercy to increase our faith, to say, help me to believe what you say in the Word, praying to God for grace.
Now, even somebody that you mentioned in your answer, Hermann Bavinck, was susceptible to the lies of secular science, and yet he is considered by many Reformed theologians and scholars to be one of the greatest minds of the Reformed faith, and even your denomination's publishing house, Reformed Free Publishing Association, has brought back into print at least one of his works, if not more. So it makes it even more of a puzzle or something to be baffled over.
I think we should be very thankful for the work of some of the creation science people, and Ham and others, Morris and Whitcomb, and other men used by God to open our eyes to say, look, you can and ought to believe what the Bible says. There's all the fossils throughout all the earth are screaming out that there was a worldwide flood, that God judged the world. And we ought to see that evidence through the eyeglasses of Scripture and say, God really did judge the world, like he said. So it's not surprising, and it's only by grace that we will believe what God tells us. So we need to pray for that grace.
Amen. Yes, we do. And another name you didn't mention that is baffling, who was susceptible to the lies of secular science, was B.B. Warfield, one of the great Princeton theologians when Princeton was still an Orthodox seminary. Very sad to know that, because he is so rich in his biblical knowledge and wisdom, and I love reading B.B. Warfield.
Chris, I think that shows us, and we should be cautious then ourselves, that we are creatures of our culture, that we absorb much, much more out of our culture than we realize. And we need to pray for God's grace to protect us from all the wiles, all the lies of the devil.
Amen. Can you tell us about the biochemical process in the human body that are evidences of creation?
You know, every single process is, when you start zeroing down, they're all so astounding that, you know, you could take just the human eye or just the proteins in the human eye that detect light and detect different colors of light. That's just astounding. Every single protein, the proteins in our muscles. You can think of them as machines. So if you came across a motor that spun around in circles, an electric motor with a little propeller on it, you'd say, well, that couldn't come about by chance. But there are bacteria that have little flagellum. It's like a little tail that spins around. And that long tail spins and it propels it, just like a ship's propeller. Well, that's not in the human body, but in a bacteria. On the other hand, there's motors called ATP synthase. It's also, it's like a generator, a turbine, and it sits in the membrane of our mitochondria. That's the powerhouse of the cell. And it spins like a motor as protons flow through it. And that process produces the ATP, the energy, just like a water turbine producing energy. Well, just that process all by itself is astounding that it works the way it works. And you have to have that to have the whole rest of the cell. And that's just one tiny little component. That you could say that's just a stamp of God's wisdom that he created those things. You have little, you could almost call them robots. They're called kinesin and dynein. And they are like little motors that walk along and they carry these packages, vesicles, and organelles on their backs, as it were, and they march down one step at a time. And again, just the complexity of something like that. And this, again, just one small part of the whole human being. And then, obviously, human life is mysterious because how do our souls interact with our bodies? But you could even think of an animal without a soul, an elephant that can remember, or other creatures that can remember, dogs that can remember. The complexity of how a brain works. It's so astounding that every time we think of those processes, we ought to think about the wise, all-powerful God that put it together. There's no shortage of things that should just make us stand in awe of the God who made us, who made heaven and earth, in whom is our help, as the psalmist says. So you know, we could go through so many of the different things. In the chapter that I wrote, I just looked at just the process to make 75 proteins that are used to convert DNA into proteins. So 75 different proteins together, and you take one of those out, missing one out of 75, and the process will come to a grinding halt. It will not work. And then, well, if you take one protein out, then none of the other proteins will be made either. So it's that God created everything all there all at once, and if we take the simplest cell, it's like a city with a power station, a sewer station, traffic lights. It's not a stretch to compare it to a city with all the different parts of a city. And now take the one simplest cell and put it into a human body that is just astounding how all the cells differentiate just in the right place to give us our fingers and our toes and our brains and our eyes. And obviously, the God who created life like that is far greater than the life that he created. He's infinite. We are just finite creatures of the dust.
We have a listener who chooses to call herself Mrs. V, as in Victory, in Kernersville, North Carolina. And Mrs. V asks, I don't know if your experience in biochemistry relates to this question, which is more of an anthropological question, but I was wondering if you believe that human beings were far different from what they appear to be today than they were after creation. For instance, did they look very different and walk very different? And as far as some of the evolutionists say, that things like the appendix had a far more important use in the human body long ago than today, which some have said is even a useless organ. Do you believe any of that?
Chris, I think it's possible that humans, let's say before the flood, were larger than we are today. I haven't studied that in depth, but the fact that, for example, today people have to have their wisdom teeth taken out because there's not enough space might indicate that in the past, maybe before the flood, when people were living into the 900s, they could have been larger. There certainly were very large people, giants, Goliath and another relative of Goliath. So it's possible they were larger. They certainly lived longer in the past. Now mutations have accumulated that make it much more difficult to live that long. Impossible to live into the 900s now. So yes, I think probably we looked, we were bigger and lived longer. Probably were more healthy for that reason as well. That would be connected. Now things like, the muscles that move our ears, maybe humans in the past were able to use those muscles better. And now those functions have degenerated, just like our human bodies are not as strong as they were before the flood. So we can't move our ears to find sound direction quite as readily as in the past. Appendix, I think, they found uses for that. So, that's an argument. Evolution said, oh, well, that's left over from evolution. It has no function. I think the research now shows that an appendix has a function. And
is that readily believed by even secular scientists today?
I believe so, that the appendix has function. So there's other things like that that they called appendages, and that leftover things that don't have function anymore. Again, it's possible that things have devolved because we are growing weaker and the human race is getting weaker and weaker because we're accumulating mutations. Since the time of the creation, when God created man perfect, so it wouldn't be surprising, but when we don't know the function, we our first way to approach it is not to jump to evolution, but to say we don't know the function, and let's find out why God created it there, rather than taking the evolutionary approach and saying, oh, it must be left over from evolution and it has no function. That's kind of an anti-science and would be detrimental to the discovery process.
Well, we have to go to our final commercial break right now. If anybody would like to join us, I would strongly urge you to send in your question immediately because we're rapidly running out of time. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. And please only remain anonymous. If your question is about a personal and private matter, let's say you are in a church that strongly disagrees with young earth creation or something like that, and you don't want to identify yourself because it's a disagreement with your own church leaders, we understand things like that. But if it's a general question, give us your first name at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church in Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ today and always.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Rees of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers Morning Meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into Morning Meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
And please, folks, never forget that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. And if you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my very dear, longtime friend and brother in Christ, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Daniel P. Buttafuoco has generously supported not only this program ever since it first launched in 2005, but he was also my largest advertiser in all my years working with WMCA Radio in New York starting in 1991 and sponsored every single public event such as the theological debates I arranged and hosted and Bible conferences and so on. He is always at the ready to offer his financial support. So please, if you are indeed the victim of a personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, call Daniel Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and make sure that you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have Mikey in West Windsor Township, New Jersey, who says, other than the book to which you contributed that Chris Arnzen has been mentioning and giving away, what other books on the issue of creationism can you recommend personally?
Well, Chris, there are many, many books. If I was going to send somebody somewhere to look at the issue of creation versus evolution, I like the Biblical Science Institute. You interviewed
Jason Lyle.
Jason Lyle just recently. I have a lot of respect for them and Answers in Genesis. Has a very good website as well. There are brothers and sisters in Christ that treat the Bible as the Word of God and look at science through the eyeglasses of Scripture. So that's where I would look. And then there's many, many different books that they publish that I think would be very good.
Well, the Biblical Science Institute website is biblicalscienceinstitute.com, biblicalscienceinstitute.com. You can also look up in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio archive for my interviews with Dr. Jason Lyle. Just type in his last name, L-I-S-L-E, in the search engine. And, of course, there is Master Books that has published the book that my guest today, Dr. John P. Marcus, has contributed to. Their website is masterbooks.com, masterbooks.com. And let's not forget the aforementioned Answers in Genesis ministry. And their website is answersingenesis.org, answersingenesis.org. If you could, Dr. Marcus, within just a couple of minutes, summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today.
I would say the biggest thing is we have to start with Scripture. What does God say? He was there. He created by His Word. Secular evolution does not fit with the Bible. Simply adding God to evolution does not work. It still contradicts what God Himself tells us. Genesis is very clear that God created in six morning and evening days. There was the evening and the morning, the first day, and so on. And when we look at what Scripture says about the genealogies, we find that the world was created about 6,000 years ago. And that's the clear testimony of Scripture. So start with Scripture, and any doubts about some evidence, we can easily say we don't know the answer to everything, how something came to be in a particular way, but we do know what God says, and what we say, what we believe, must square with what God Himself says. Jesus said, Matthew 19, verse 4, He answered them, "Have ye not read?" So He's referring to Scripture. There's the authority. That He which made them, Adam and Eve, at the beginning made them male and female. So Jesus Himself points to a beginning, points to the creation of male and female. That affects our theology. And it's a salvation issue because if we don't believe in a literal Adam, and Scripture says death reigned from Adam to Moses, and by one man, sin entered into the world, and we're going to run into very serious difficulties with Christ.
Well, we are out of time, and the website for my guest's church is peaceprc.org, peaceprc.org, Peace Protestant Reformed Church in Dyer, Indiana. Thank you so much, brother, for being my guest today. I want to thank everybody who wrote in questions, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.